taking their place in a long, true line of everyday Americans.
Helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends. Every day you are everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. Glad you could join me today. You know, you may have heard about this, but there's a you may have heard of Dr. Robert Malone. He is a expert in the mRNA technology that is used in, I believe, two of the three quote-unquote vaccines currently available, the Pfizer and the Moderna. Now, you may have also heard that recently, well, Twitter locked out his account. Not really a surprise, because he's not only an expert in the, was a contributor to the mRNA technology, he's also a prominent skeptic of many of the the vaccine mandates and other things. So not surprised that he was banned by Twitter. I've talked before, Twitter's a private company. They can set whatever standards they want. Mr. Malone doesn't have a right to be on Twitter. But again, it just proves that maybe Twitter's not the place you want to go for information. But that's actually not what I want to talk about. Because in a recent interview with Joe Rogan, well, Mr. Malone made an interesting comment. Now, first, he said that, quote, our government is out of control on this. They are lawless. They completely disregard bioethics. They completely disregard the federal common rule. They have broken all the rules that I know of, that I've been trained in for years and years and years. Now, that wasn't the comment I was thinking of, because that's true. At least I'm assuming, I don't know the rules that Mr. Malone has been, that Dr. Malone has been trained in. But yes, these are lawless. They disregard bioethics. They disregard a lot of things. And again, we're not talking some fringe person. He is an expert in the mRNA technologies. You know, he's been dealing with this for years. He went on to say, these mandates are explicitly illegal, are explicitly inconsistent with the Nuremberg Code. They are inconsistent, explicitly inconsistent with the Belmont Report. Now, what are these? Well, okay, illegal I've talked about. I've talked about it from a constitutional standpoint, among others. They are, these mandates deprive you of liberty without due process of law. They're telling you how to live your life, what you must do in order to be a member of society. They deprive you of the property of your own body without due process of law. They do not protect the rights of the individual. They are a violation of, they in effect turn you into almost a form of involuntary servitude. You know, if you want to, in certain places, take New York City, right? You know, if you want to go to a restaurant, you have to not only take a foreign substance into your body, an experimental foreign substance, but you have to prove it. You have to walk around with documentation that proves you've submitted to government. That's all true. But he also mentioned the Nuremberg Code. Now, I've seen a lot of people saying that that the Nuremberg Code, you know, violation of that's a crime. The Nuremberg Code is a set of ethical guidelines that were developed after the Nuremberg trials after World War II. We've hopefully all been taught about Joseph Mengele and the experiments he performed on human beings. And these ethics codes were developed based on that, and it's called the Nuremberg Code. It is a, again, ethics codes. These are not laws, but they are ethics. So when he's saying that they are explicitly inconsistent with the Nuremberg Code, you have experimental pharmaceuticals. Remember, these pharmaceuticals that are currently being used in the United States have not passed the FDA tests. Right? The FDA has approved emergency use authorizations. And they said, we haven't had a chance to go through all the tests. but we're going to release him as an emergency. And that has certain legal requirements, right? You have to, the recipient has to be informed that this is released under an emergency use authorization. They have to be given a list of the benefits and the risks of this pharmaceutical. They have to be told they have the ability to opt out, along with whatever consequences there may be for doing so. Many of these are not being followed. So there are serious ethics violations. He also says they are inconsistent with the Belmont Report, which is a report out from 1978 regarding ethical principles for research involving human subjects. I haven't done a lot of research on the Belmont Report, but being this is Dr. Malone, we'll simply assume that what he's saying is true, that it violates the ethical principles for research involving human subjects. He went on to say, they are flat out illegal and they don't care. What is flat out illegal, these mandates? Who doesn't care? Well, these governments. Now, even all that is not what I found interesting. That's a reiteration of what I've been saying for many, many, many years. But here's what I found interesting. Dr. Malone said, when you have a society that has become decoupled from each other and has free-floating anxiety in the sense that things don't make sense, we can't understand it, and then their attention gets focused by a leader or series of events on one small point, just like hypnosis, they literally become hypnotized and can be led anywhere. They will follow that person. It doesn't matter if they lie to them or whatever. He said that several years ago, people were contemplating the world doesn't make sense. They weren't connected socially anymore, except through social media. Then this thing happened, referring to the pandemic. He said, this is how mass formation psychosis happens, and that is what has happened here. And that last statement kind of... It helps explain so much of what I've been observing the last 2 years, that we're dealing not simply with a hypnotized, but literally a psychosis in society. Now, what is psychosis? I want to go look it up, make sure I get you an accurate definition. Psychosis is a serious mental illness characterized by defective or lost contact with reality, often with hallucinations or delusions. So let's ask ourselves, look at America today. Are we dealing with a massive mental illness? Is there a defective or lost contact with reality? I would say yes. I've been talking for almost 2 years about how, yes, COVID-19 is a disease, but how dangerous is it really? How dangerous is it to you and me? And as the data came out that said, you know what? It really isn't dangerous to the majority of the population. It's really only dangerous to the old and those with serious medical situations. But rather than looking at that reality and saying, okay, what do we do to keep those that are vulnerable safe? We have this delusion that COVID is killing everyone. And that we must do everything to eradicate COVID, to remove the SARS-CoV-2 virus from existence in the planet, which is delusional. It's never going to happen. We have people, someone was talking about a lady on an airplane. And they were describing, as she was getting ready for this trip, taking multiple COVID tests, having the vaccines and the mask and the face shield. And then she did, before she got on the airplane, she took a COVID test and she was negative. And she was on the airplane. And at one point she went to the restroom. She took another COVID test. She tested positive and was terrified that she might actually spread COVID to other people. We have a group of people in the United States who are detached. I was talking to a group and they were, again, detached from reality. They were talking about, there was two groups. One group lived in one of the northern states. One group lived in Florida. And we were all talking on Zoom. And at one point, the two groups, so these are older people, they were like, oh, you know, oh my God, I'm never going to Florida. Look at all the craziness. But then I look at the data and say, wait a second, Florida has the lowest infection rate in the country right now. But yet, you're not going to go there because of the delusion that what they're doing doesn't work when the evidence shows otherwise. It was to me, it was the solidification of what I've seen over the last 2 years, to understand that a large number, a massive number of people in the United States and in the world are having a psychotic episode. They're having a break from reality. It reminds you, I was talking, and how did this happen? How did we detach ourselves from reality? Well, I'm not a psychologist, but I was listening to a podcaster the other day, and this person made a point. Says, you know, you can find an expert that'll tell you anything you want. You can find an expert that says the vaccines work. You can find an expert that says the vaccines don't work. You can find an expert that says the masks work. You can find an expert that says the masks don't work. You can find an expert that says 10 days isn't long enough to isolate. You can find another expert that says 5 days is too long. And I'm listening to this description, and I noticed an interesting point. Because this person was only listening to experts and never checking to see what the experts were basing their opinions on. I see this all the time from a constitutional standpoint, where someone will send me, well, this expert said, and then I go and see what the expert based their opinion on, and I find out it's wrong. It's why I say we need to go back to the original. We need to go back to the source documents to see if what we're being told is true. And we don't do that. We are now being led by this group of experts, but we're never checking to see if what the experts are basing their opinions on. Now, it's interesting because Dr. Malone, when he suggested that we are in the midst of this mass formation psychosis, he also drew parallels to the mentality that developed among the German population in the 1920s and 30s. He said, in those years, Germans had a highly intelligent, highly educated population, and they went barking mad. How is this intelligent people made barking mad, at least according to Dr. Malone? Well, that's who he's talking about. This society that's decoupled from each other, a free-floating anxiety. Now, today, the free-floating anxiety is COVID. I see people going crazy at the possibility of getting COVID. When you see that, wait a second, especially now, Omicron is a cold for most people. It's a cold. We've been driven this way we've established this free-floating anxiety, this fear, as I've referred to as a scaredemic, and it is driving us barking mad. We've been hypnotized by those who say, we have to do everything we can, do whatever, you know, to shut things down. Let's not test to see if it works. Let's not evaluate the effectiveness. We just have to do whatever you're told, regardless if it's legal, regardless if it's effective. America has gone stark, raving, barking, mad, at least as a whole. And we're not alone. Much of the world seems to have gone barking, mad. Canada, England, the UK, Australia, all are examples of going barking mad from a disease that has a 98.4% survival rate. at least according to the CDC, you look at the number of deaths, it's 1.6% across all ages and demographics, all demographics. You limit that to the age demographics, and if you're under 65, that number goes up to like 99.5%. And if you look at children under age 12, under age 5, the death rate is statistically zero. What did I say? I think 5 to 11-year-old, the case rate is only 2.4%. The death rate statistically zero. Yet, we have schools closing down because teachers don't want to go to work because they might get COVID. Any evidence that children are super spreaders? No. You have cities locking down for COVID, saying, well, you must get vaccinated, but you have evidence that the vaccine does not stop either the infection of the vaccinated or the vaccinated spreading the virus to anyone else. We've gone stark, raving, barking, mad. And it is the perfect situation for a leader or leaders to take control, to dictate how you will live your life in complete disregard to the law, in complete disregard to humanity. And I'm not simply talking about Biden. Biden is doing it. Yes, he's issuing executive orders for things he's not legally authorized to do. He's violating his oath of office. And he's doing it again and again and again and again. And people are following him. I got another email the other day from someone who has a family member who has to decide whether or not to become a medical experiment in order to keep their job. Because the company they work for said, well, Biden's mandated it, even though the state in which they work is currently under an injunction preventing the enforcement of the OSHA mandate. I talked to another one a couple months ago who has a family member that may get thrown out of the military for the same thing. We've gone stark, raving, barking, mad. Then look at what Governor Cuomo and now Governor Hochul are doing in the state of New York. What Mayor de Blasio and was the new mayor, was Adams, I think is his name, is continuing. This idea that you must be vaccinated, regardless of whether or not you have natural immunity. Regardless of whether of the dangers of, or I should say, regardless of the fact that even though you're vaccinated, you can still get the disease and you can still transmit the disease. They don't care. They've gone stark, raving, barking, mad. Look at Governor Newsom in California doing exactly the same thing. Stark, raving, barking, mad. And look at the attacks against the governors that are saying, maybe we don't want to do this. Whether it's Governor DeSantis in Florida or Abbott in Texas, they're vilified. Not simply by the media, but by large swaths of the population. I've seen it. Even though what they're doing is working, their infection rates are down, their hospitalization rates are down, their death rates are down, but it doesn't matter because as a whole, the nation has gone stark, raving, barking, mad. And those of us who have not fallen for it are being ostracized, are being shoved aside, are making it harder and harder for you to live that way. Because they all want us to be just as psychotic as they are. Not necessarily for evil intentions. They don't want to be alone. They are lost in their delusions. And they want everyone else to join them. Now, I'm going to back up. How did this happen? I want to back up to that concept. How were the American people driven stark, raving mad? Well, first of all, I believe that the people let themselves be driven by. But it's stories like this. See, NBC News announced a terrifying increase in child hospitalizations. Now, this is from the last week of December, so the information is a little dated. But they said in the last 4 weeks, the average number of children hospitalized with COVID-19 jumped 52% from a low of 1,270 on November 29th to 1,933 just before New Year's. That was their report. This is based on data from the Department of Health and Human Services. And that sounds terrifying, especially if you're a parent. Oh my God, a 52% increase in hospitalizations. Now, they also noted that adult hospitalizations increased 29%. My God, it's a pediatric a pandemic. Oh my God, what are we going to do? Well, let's back off from the hysteria a little bit, and let's look at the numbers. See, we're talking just under 2,000 children. And again, that's in the hospital. That's terrible. There's little more heart-wrenching than a child in the hospital. But we're not talking 1,933 children in one city. We're not talking 1,933 children in a state. We're talking 1,933 children in a country of nearly 330 million people. But we are talking hospitalizations of children. So I went to Statista, and they estimate that in 2019, you count children 0 to age 17. There are roughly 73 million children. So that means there are 1,933 hospitalizations among 73 million children, or 0.0084%. That's a little less scary now, isn't it? Now, also, we're talking hospitalizations. The question is, are these children hospitalized from COVID? You see, the CDC admitted that many children hospitalizations with COVID-19 are actually admitted for other reasons. See, the CDC director, Walensky, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, says that the number of children with COVID-19 hospitalizations have gone up. But she said many of them are actually coming in for another reason. But they happen to be tested when they come in and they're found incidentally to have COVID. Again, how do you drive someone barking mad? You give them a free floating anxiety. You scare the pants off of them. Meaning you report, oh my God, a 50% increase in hospitalizations. You don't control for the fact of this number of the percentage increase, but not the percentage of children of the entire child population, right? Oh my God, we went up 52%. It scares people. It drives clicks. It drives views. It drives advertising. It drives people crazy. Then you find out, oh, well, guess what? Many of these children were in for something else. And since they were there, they got tested for COVID and they happened to show they tested positive. Now, we don't know if this is a false positive. We don't know which test was used. But what we do know is that a lot of these children are not experiencing symptoms of COVID-19. They simply have the virus in their body. And if their body is fighting it, what's the big deal? Isn't that a good thing? But we don't focus on that. We want the free floating anxiety. We want people scared to death. We want the psychosis. Or at least, I shouldn't say we do. There are people who do. Sadly, there are many Americans who do. Now, I have more data. I have more information for you, but I got to head off to a break. So before I do, do me a favor. Head to constitutionstudy.com. You can find out more. Find my articles. Find my videos. And find out more about the Constitution and what it says. If you have a question, I'm looking for questions. I suddenly my questions dried up. So please go to Constitution Study, either click the Ask a Questions button or go to constitutionstudy.com/questions and ask a question. If you want me to answer on the radio, just click the little checkbox and I'll answer it right here on the radio. I'm looking for questions to answer here on the radio. Please do that. Also, you may want to head over to Constitution Scholars. You know, one of the things I do on the Scholars websites, I've got all the community groups, and I have groups for each of the states. So one of the things I do is as I collect news articles, I post them in the state groups if they're related to state constitution or legal issues. So you can find out more there. Again, that's constitutionscholars.com. Also, please head to healthycell.com. You know, when you're talking about the psychosis, the delusions that we've been living with, part of the reason you can stay sane is understanding what protections you have. And part of that is living a healthy lifestyle. That means everything from, you know, making sure you get the right nutrition, making sure you're getting things like vitamin C, vitamin D3, zinc to help your body. But it also means getting a good night's sleep. Now, I don't know about you, but when I travel, I generally don't sleep very well. My wife, she's never really slept very well. Now, Healthy Cell has what they product called REM sleep. It helps you get drowsy, helps you fall asleep, helps you stay asleep so you can wake up refreshed and ready to attack the day. It's not a pill. It's a simple gel pack that you can take, or you can mix with a drink before bedtime. And it works. I've used it. But as an America Out Loud listener, you get 20% off your first order. So go to healthycell.com, check out REM Sleep or any of their formulas, but use the code OUTLOUD at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. So whether you've made a New Year's resolution, or you just decide you want to live better, or you're just looking for a way to sleep better, go to healthycell.com, try REM Sleep, and then use the code OUTLOUD at checkout for 20% off your first order.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com, and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com, and let's all make a difference.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to healthycell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's healthycell.com. HEALTHYCELL, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
AmericaOutLoud.com. Simply put, we're patriots who believe in Ronald Reagan's vision of a shining city on a hill. from sea to shining sea. You can listen in on iHeartRadio. Our free apps are on Apple, Android, or Alexa, or our world-class media player. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. Today, I'm investigating this idea from Dr. Robert Malone that we are dealing with basically a mass psychosis. I looked at some examples and some of how we got here. And I reminded of some of what I've dealt with for the last 2 years. People who called me said I wanted to kill grandma because I looked at the data and said masks don't do very much when it comes to COVID. Yes, I was told I wanted to kill grandma. I was told that I want to infect everybody because I don't wear a mask and because I refuse to get the gene therapy. And now as more and more data proves that, you know what, I was right. Guess what happens? See, if you're dealing with a rational person, they go, maybe my assumptions were wrong. If you're dealing with a delusional person, they simply ignore the contradictory information. You know, it's like the joke of the man who's convinced he's dead. So his wife brings him to the doctor's office and says, "Doc, you got to do something. He keeps telling me he's dead. He's not going to work. You got to help him." So the doctor examines him and, seems okay, but he still insists he's dead. So he asks the man, he says, "Do dead people bleed?" The man says, "No, of course dead people don't bleed." He pulls a pin out of the drawer. He sticks him in the finger and he bleeds. And the man looks at it and says, "I guess dead people do bleed." That's what we're dealing with here with COVID. All the evidence that the vaccines don't work doesn't matter. That the vaccines don't stop you from getting COVID, they don't stop you from spreading COVID. They may reduce your symptoms. They may decrease the chance, the likelihood of you going to the hospital. Yes, but we're being told I have to take this because they don't want me spreading. It does no such thing. It doesn't matter. They ignore the facts because they've become delusional. And I talked in the first half of the program about how the fear porn, this data out of context, has helped driven this free-floating anxiety that has led to the psychosis. And again, more and more evidence is coming out that we've been manipulated. Intentionally or not, we've been manipulated. You see, New York Governor Hochul announced she's making an adjustment to how hospitals report patient intakes regarding COVID. She says she wants them to distinguish between hospitalizations with COVID or because of COVID. That's right. Again, we have an admission by the state of New York that they've been reporting hospitalizations as COVID hospitalizations without distinguishing between whether or not someone came into the hospital and tested positive for COVID, or they came into the hospital because they had COVID. Now, according to Yahoo News, Hochul said she made random calls to a handful of hospital leaders about patient intake reporting. She found a 20 to 50% difference between patients being actually treated for COVID versus being treated for something else, but also testing positive. 20 to 50%. That can be a significant number. If as many as half of the hospitalization numbers for COVID are not actually hospitalizations for COVID, maybe those scary numbers we keep hearing aren't so scary anymore. It's kind of like when the CDC admitted that 94% of COVID deaths were people who died with COVID, not necessarily from COVID. People who died from an average of 2.5 other reasons in addition to having COVID. Scare porn, fear, free-floating anxieties and is driving people crazy. See, according to reporting on Epoch Times, flu is returning. The flu season has arrived in America after taking a year off. Now, these are based on interviews and numbers from the CDC. According to Lynette Bramer, she tracks flu-like illnesses for the CDC, says this is setting up to be more of a normal flu season. So did the flu take a vacation last year? Did flu decide it wasn't going to show up last year? Now, many people report, says, well, you know, all the COVID measures, the school closures, the distancing, the masks, the canceled travel, maybe it prevented the spread of influenza. Maybe it did. In fact, I'm sure it did have some impact on the spread of the flu. Of course, you also have people being forced to live again in close contact because of lockdowns and isolation. So if the flu did show up, it would spread rapidly through a family. But it's also possible that, you know, the CDC changed their PCR test. They retired an old PCR test and issued a new one. Why? We see the new PCR test can distinguish between COVID-19 and influenza A and B. Could it be that many of the quote-unquote COVID cases last year were actually the flu? But because the testing at the time could not distinguish between the flu and COVID, it got marked as COVID? Again, a free-floating anxiety. If you're sick, it must be COVID. You have the sniffles, it must be COVID. You have a cold, it must be COVID. It's driving people barking mad. And I'm afraid that not only we, but the coming generations will suffer for it. Well, for example, the FDA recently recommended booster shots for children. But you see, they never actually convened the advisory panel to weigh in on the process. Now again, children, according to the CDC, have a very low, they're a very small percentage of those infected. I think it's like 2.5% of the cases are actually children age 5 to 11. Statistically, zero chance of death. There are 75 million children between ages 0 and 17. I think there's been less than 1,000 deaths. Now, again, those are 1,000 families that are dealing with tragedy. But we're going to bypass the safety processes. We're going to bypass the advisory panel. An advisory panel that has already admitted when they authorized the COVID vaccines, quote-unquote vaccines, for 5 to 11-year-olds, that they didn't know what it would do until they actually gave it to the children and found out. They didn't even go that far to get that panel to put together and say, listen, we don't know any better. We don't know whether it's safe or not. We won't know until we actually put it in the kids. Because we're dealing with a delusional state from this free-floating anxiety. And that's not all. See, the Mayo Clinic fires 700 unvaccinated employees. Now, this is in a long list of examples of companies firing employees because they won't be guinea pigs. They won't take an experimental shot as a condition of employment. But I wanted to look at the Mayo Clinic for a very important reason. You see, a few weeks ago, nurses were warning the clinic that they had staffing shortages. See, several weeks ago, they said, listen, we don't have enough staff. So, is this really a smart idea? If you're a hospital that's already dealing with staffing shortages, do you create your own staffing shortage? Well, they did. Now, why did they do this? Well, according to the Mayo Clinic, they did it based on science and data. It's clear that vaccinations keep people out of the hospital and save lives. That's true for everyone in our communities, and it's especially true for the many patients with serious or complex diseases who seek care at the Mayo Clinic each day. Well, okay, except not only has there been no proof that the quote-unquote vaccinations prevent the transmission of the disease. See, we're not talking about people who didn't take the shot, got sick, and couldn't work. We're talking about otherwise healthy people, doctors who are used to dealing with respiratory diseases and others and the like. So it's not because they're worried about the employees getting sick. And they're not worried, it can't be because they're worried about them transmitting it to others, because the vaccines don't stop you getting infected. They don't stop the transmissions. And in fact, some of the new data says Omicron likes the vaccinated. That, I believe, was in the U.S., there's 28% higher number of vaccinated people have gotten the Omicron variant than unvaccinated. So again, we're dealing with a delusion, a fear, not science and data. Show me the science and data. Now, does it help keep people out of the hospital? It does appear to do that. Does it save lives? Possibly. But it's hard because the testing really isn't there, because we're rushing headlong without doing proper testing. For example, are the deaths they're counting from COVID because of COVID or because of the remdesivir that the government is pushing hospitals to use as treatment for COVID? Remdesivir that was pulled from an Ebola trial because over half of the people who took it died. Could that be part of it? We're dealing with a free-floating anxiety. And when people are scared, they're less likely to make rational decisions. Now again, the Mayo Clinic, it's a private company. They have the right to decide vaccination, taking these drugs as a condition of employment. They have that right. If they violated any of the employment contracts of the 700 workers they let go, that should be dealt with the courts. But again, we're seeing hospitals, and we're seeing reports of hospitals approaching capacity. But is it capacity because they don't have enough beds, or because they don't have enough staff? And is the answer to not enough staff to get rid of staff because they don't meet a political agenda? Because you're making decisions based on, well, not based on science, but based on experts. Experts that aren't proving data. Remember, the FDA said they will not, they don't want to release the data, the safety data, the data that was used to determine that these drugs were safe. They don't want to release that for 75 years. That's not science, ladies and gentlemen. That is a cover-up. Certainly looks like a cover-up. Why else would you keep that data away from the people who can best analyze it? Yet based on that, the Mayo Clinic fired 700 people. I think it's a bad move. I think it's a bad decision. They, you know, we all have a right to do stupid things. And I think they're going to suffer the consequences. What I'm afraid is, how many people who are going to the Mayo Clinic for treatment will suffer the consequences as well because of their bad decision-making? And again, the fear, the psychosis, leads us to make decisions without considering the long-term consequences of the decisions. See, if you're a rational person, you weigh the pros and cons of your decision, right? Do I lock down or not lock down? Do I wear a mask or not wear a mask? Do I take the drug or do I not take the drug? There are two sides. You look at the long-term, as best you can, you look at the long-term impact and you say, okay, based on the pros and cons, the risks and rewards, you make a decision. But with everybody talking about the long-term impacts on our children from these lockdowns and other measures we took for a disease that they have a statistically zero chance of dying from, we're finding that the long-term impact might be quite severe. An Oxford University professor warned, based on some analysis, that the overall impact of COVID-19 restrictions on the mental health and well-being of children and adolescents is likely to be severe. Apparently, there was a study out of, Brown University, said that lockdowns and mandates and other restrictions are likely to create a generation of children with lower IQs and signs of social brain damage. There are other studies. They report an increased mental illness presenting among minors impacted by the lockdowns. Conditions of stress and isolation from their peers. About having unfounded fears associated with the coronavirus, which killed fewer than 800 of the almost 75 million Americans under age 18. But some of the most interesting data comes from a study known as Resonance. Get that right, Resonance. And it's a longitudinal study that of students have been enrolled continuously from 0 to age 5, going back to 2009, well before the scaredemic. They followed these children through infancy, childhood, and into early adolescence. Now, this study has been run by Brown University. And what they did is they wanted to look at what they call the general childhood cognitive scores of the, you know, from 2020 and 2021 to the preceding decade, 2011 through 2019. They concluded that children born during the pandemic have a significantly reduced verbal, motor, and overall cognitive performance compared to children born pre-pandemic. And guess what? Men and women in the lower socioeconomic strata, they seem to be the most affected. They also found that even in the absence of a direct SARS-CoV-2 infection and illness, the environmental changes associated with the pandemic are significantly and negatively affecting infant and child development. We are imposing our own psychoses on our children. Professor Carl Hennigan, he's the director of the Oxford University Center for Evidence-Based Medicine, published a study that found 8 out of 10 children and adolescents report worsening of behavior or any psychological symptoms or an increase in negative feelings due to the COVID-19 pandemic. School closures contribute to increased anxiety, loneliness, and stress, negative feelings due to COVID-19 increased with the duration of the school closures, the study found. Research have reported anxiety, depression, irritability, boredom, inattention, and fear of COVID-19 as predominant new onset psychological problems in children during the pandemic. We are harming our children because we are afraid of a disease that, unless you're old, overweight, diabetic, you have an extremely high likelihood of surviving. Some people have a mild time of it. Some people have a hard time of it. But it's not going to kill you. Most likely, it's not even going to put you in the hospital. But we're going to make our children suffer from this free-floating anxiety. But it's not just the children. Through December 21st of 2021, the FAA reported a total of 5,779 unruly passenger incidents in 2021. Now, of these, the FAA has launched investigations into just over 1,000 investigations, approximately 600% increase from the annual average for the previous 25 years. Now, according to a report out of Front Page magazine, historically, things like overcrowding, cancellations, narrow seats, they cause in-flight incidents. Only last year, 2021, The FAA's mask mandate, which they implemented on February 1st, has been the major factor causing a massive increase in incidents. See, despite the multiple studies showing that masks are generally ineffective and have potentially negative health effects, not only FAA, but airlines are still increasing their restrictions and forcing passengers to wear masks while eating and drinking. I'm trying to figure that one out. So what happens when you take a free-floating anxiety, devoid of facts and data, and use it to restrict people? Some people get pissed. They act out. It increases the stress level. And this is bound to happen. And it's interesting because recently the CEO of Southwest Airlines testified before the Senate, says this makes no sense. He says, I think the case is very strong that masks do not add much, if anything, in the air cabin environment. It's very safe, very high quality compared to any other indoor setting. So it's not about the data. He says they have HEPA filters. The air is constantly being changed with outside air. Nope, doesn't matter. We have a free-floating anxiety, and we're letting other people tell us that this is what you must do. Which brings me back to the podcaster I mentioned in the first half. We're listening to experts, and we're never checking to see if what they say is true. We have experts saying, wear a mask, wear two masks, wear three masks. We don't have any science, we don't have any data, but we say we do, so go ahead. Well, show me. Well, no, you couldn't figure this out. You're just a peon. No, I'm actually a relatively intelligent human being. I can understand basic statistics. I may not know the details of how a virus works in the body. But if you show me that a mask, a certain mask, depending on how they're worn, have less than, have 20, 40, 60% effectiveness, well, that means that I'm getting a certain percentage of the virus still into my face. I can look at a thing that says, you know what, I can look at the CDC data saying, you know what, based on my age, my weight, my health, I have a 99.5% chance of surviving COVID should I get it. But we're not doing that. Because the American people have given up their liberty to be told what to do. You know, Missouri is known as a show me state. But the rest of the country, we don't ask to show me. We simply take the word of some bureaucrat because they have some vaunted position. Whether it be the head of the NIAID, CDC, FDA, MIC, KEY, MOUSE, we don't care. They get a government paycheck, so we listen to them. And they've driven us crazy. You see, part of being a free people, part of being living in liberty, is the responsibility to find out for yourself. To not simply trust someone because they said so. Where's your proof? But Paul, you're not an expert. You don't need to be an expert in everything to understand some basic information. They said masks work. Where's the study? And let the experts duke it out. One expert says, yes, it works. Another expert says, no, it doesn't. Fine. Argue it out. Let us see the data. One says, trust me, I'm an expert. The other says, no, the studies you're using don't work, and here's why, A, B, and C. Who do you listen to? There's a responsibility to being a free people. It's the responsibility to not simply follow where someone leads. To ask the question, to challenge the assumption. And that's exactly what we've not only not done, but the few of us that have been denied a public forum to do so. How many people have been removed from Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, because they offered information that challenged the politically approved narrative? And not just on COVID, but we're talking about COVID today, but it's been done on COVID, it's been done on the elections, it's been done on CRT, it's been done on any number of things, on transgenderism. We cannot live free if we cannot challenge the data that's presented to us. And we can't challenge the data that's presented to us if the data is never available. The American people have gotten lazy. Our liberty wasn't taken from us. We simply weren't willing to do the work to live at liberty. And now we're suffering the consequences. The parallels between 2021 and 2022 in America and the 1920s and 30s in Germany should scare people. I'm not saying we're going to enter into a new Holocaust, but I am saying those who will not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And we're not learning from history. It wasn't simply the Holocaust. It was the tyranny of the Nazis. Nazis that were elected to power. They didn't storm the gates to take over. They were elected. The people of Germany asked them to take over. Are we asking tyrants to take over? We have been. The good news is we still have a constitution. But the constitution doesn't do you any good unless you use it. And you don't know how to use it if you've never read it, and you've never studied it, and you've never challenged people's assumptions about what is and what is not. And that's where we come in. Those of us in the Constitution study, to help you read and study and help answer those questions so you and your children and your children's children can live free. Now, America Out Loud Talk Radio plays on the iHeartRadio network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser in the world. We have best-in-class apps on Apple, Android, and Alexa. You can stream 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can even get the podcast on those apps. So check it out at AmericaOutLoud.com and find out more so that you can secure the blessings of liberty for yourself, for your posterity, and for this country.
Stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.